You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. And if you haven't done it already, download our mobile app. We've got a free app out there. It's got a digital Bible. It's got all of our teachings. It's got an online community that you can interact with. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on those notifications. I don't want you to miss anything as we continue our study. We are in Matthew chapter 27. And as I was just saying to our live stream community, because we stream every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we do that right now on Facebook. We're going to stream in some other places as well. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Facebook, X, and a couple other places, but most of you watch on Facebook. When I get to this part of studies, I get butterflies, if I could just be real. So we're studying the crucifixion, right? So if you want to get something right, you want to get the crucifixion right. But again, I'm reminded, and I just want to remind you as well, is that our study is a journey. And if we think that we can fit all biblical truth in the span of 20 minutes a day, we're selling the power of the scriptures short, right? I mean, we have gone now through, I think this is episode 154 in the book of Matthew alone in this season, so to speak. And I'm telling you right now, I could go back to Matthew chapter 1 as soon as we're done with this, as soon as we get through Matthew 28, start all over again, and never necessarily even cover what we've covered, and there would still be just a plethora, I like that word, of just, now, I mean, it's endless, endless knowledge. We serve an infinite God, right? And we understand abundance because that means a lot, but we have a hard time wrapping our mind around infinite and eternal. And I'm telling you, there is an eternal, an infinite access to revelation in the scripture. So with that, let's take the pressure off. We're going to do the best we possibly can to get through the most pivotal moment in all of humanity. No pressure, right? But we left off with Jesus being sent to the cross. And before he was sent to the cross, we see what I personally find heartbreaking, the what he had to go through, right? He was scourged. He leaves Pilate, and Pilate sends him off to be crucified, but first to be flogged. And we talked about this in our last teaching, how being flogged is not just being whipped. It's being basically torn apart by a whip with bone and metal tied to the end. And how he was beaten. He was spat on. He was mocked. They took a crown of thorns, thorns probably as big as your pinky, and jammed it into the top of his head. They put a reed in his hand to symbolize a scepter, all mocking him to be a king. They put a robe, a scarlet robe, on his back. Just a mockery. But it was a mockery that was displaying their unbelief, the unbelief of all the people. Everybody was complicit in this, from the chief priests of the Romans to the crowd. And I believe that symbolizes all of humanity and how we all play a part in that because of our fleshly, sinful nature. Now, with that being said, we all have the opportunity to play also the part of Simon, the Cyrene. And that's where I want to pick it up today. I know I kind of put that in at the end, but I want to go back to it, and I want to start there, because Jesus, on his way, beaten, bruised is not even a word, ripped apart, losing blood by the minute, is he encounters this man, Simon from Cyrene, and through no voluntary act of both Simon and Jesus, the Romans demand that Simon carry the cross. And that is symbolizing of what you and I would be called to do in sharing the burden with Jesus. We're called to share that burden with Jesus every day and to pick up our own cross and carry it, as is expressed in Matthew 16:24. And as I was reading through the gospel, as I was reading through Matthew, I took note that Matthew actually, I mean, we're only talking about a couple verses. When we look at the crucifixion, Matthew, it's what, 33 through, hold on, I'll get there in a second. Yeah, so 33 through 56. But if you compare Matthew's depiction of the cross to John's, Matthew is not as detailed as John. And I'm taking note of this, and I'm was thinking about why, but it occurred to me that Matthew's audience is the Jewish audience. So Matthew's main role, as we've talked about many times before in this gospel, is to show the Jewish people fulfillment of prophecy, right? To show the Jewish people that prophecy was fulfilled, that Jesus was the Messiah that was linked to the seed of Abraham, that was linked to the lineage of David. So therefore, he does not get as personal. We see more of a depiction in some of the other gospels, which they're all unique in themselves. But that's why I believe that we see Matthew maybe kind of, I don't want to say glossing over, because I don't want to make it as if that's what he did. But Matthew is just a more kind of, I don't want to say this literal depiction of what's going on, where through John, you could, I think, you get into the more personal aspects of it. So I hope that makes sense. So let's get in and let's start reading here so that we can tee this off. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Golgotha means the place of the skull, and it's possibly named that because there's skull-like appearance to the area. I wish I would have pulled a picture and been able to show it to our live stream audience, but go ahead and look it up. You can see like the outcropping actually looks very much like a skull. And its location is outside the walls of Jerusalem. And it was a strategic place for Roman executions. And it was meant to be a public spectacle because it was an area that was a major thoroughfare. And you have to understand something about crucifixion itself. Not only was it a horrific way to die, but it was also meant for humiliation and to spread fear. So Rome always would crucify criminals, and they would only basically crucify. They would crucify, I think, thieves, rebels, right? If you basically rebelled against Rome, this was the manner of death. So it was meant to be a real deterrent. Now the Romans actually didn't come up with crucifixion. It originated in Persia, and in the process of the wars between Rome and that region, they found it. So they came upon something that they thought was going to be effective for them, and it's, again, a brutal capital punishment. Actually, it was for, I recall now, slaves, rebels, and the most heinous of crimes. And it's literally a process of physical torture and prolonged death. And you would think being nailed to a cross, being scourged and beaten, bleeding out while you're up there, and sometimes the shock and the pain would kill people. But the cause of death was really asphyxiation. Asphyxiation, your body being deprived of of oxygen, because basically your lungs fill up with blood. If you imagine you're nailed to the cross and the weight of your own body is pulling you down, gravity itself is pulling you down. And ultimately what's happening is you're fighting for your breath. And part of me wants to say, I'm sorry for opening this up and starting your Monday morning on this. But I'm not. Because we have to, as Christians, reflect on the sacrifice. We have to, in all circumstances. When we look at, even when we come across people that we don't particularly care for, that we would not want to minister to, it's important to remember the depth of the sacrifice of Jesus, so we could realize, like, hey, I may be uncomfortable in this situation, but what did Jesus do for this person? We love thinking about how Jesus sacrificed himself for us. We love thinking about how Jesus sacrificed himself for the people that we love, people that we like. But it's the people that we find deplorable and detestable sometimes. And let's just be real. I mean, we fight against that. There are things that are very difficult for us to handle. And we have to remember that Jesus went through all this for them, just as much as for you, just as much as your best friend in the world. And I just think that's a humbling thing that says, hey, if this person's good enough for Jesus, they're good enough for me to be able to help. Amen? Well, we're taking a little bit of time here, and that's okay. But I just wanted to really point out how this form of torture and execution was not only just a way to kill somebody, it was dehumanizing. And another way that people were dehumanized was how they would sit and cast lot over your clothes. But first, before we even get there, I want to remind you that they offered Jesus a drink of gall. Right? Gall was this mixture of myrrh. And it says in Matthew that when he tasted it and realized what it was, he refused it. And what this was, it was meant to be numbing. It was meant to be a numbing agent. It was a crude numbing agent. And by refusing it, we see his choice to fully experience the agony of the crucifixion. Let's keep reading here. They offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Here's another situation that made this whole experience dehumanizing. What they would do, they meaning the Roman soldiers, they would sit at the base of the cross or be within the vicinity, definitely within eyeshot, and they would cast lots. They would gamble for your belongings before you're even dead. And if you think about this in the context of what the Jewish people thought of the Romans as dogs. They thought of anybody that was a Gentile, in a lot of cases, Samaritans and things like that. They thought of them as dogs. They would not go to their house. They would not touch things that there was a lot of, you know, strict rules around this type of stuff. So imagine you being a Jewish man or woman being crucified and seeing what you thought of dogs. Now, I'm not saying that that's right. As a matter of fact, you and I know very well that Jesus did not think of them as dogs. Matthew doesn't depict it here. But what was the first thing that Jesus said on the cross? We're going to get to this in a couple days. I want to go through that exercise like we have done for the last 3 years, talking about what Jesus said on the cross. Jesus looked at them. They said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Most of us can't even fathom that level of mercy at that point of anguish. Again, imagine the anguish. If anybody had a reason and a right to be angry with those who were hurting him, it was Jesus. This man did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Yet, he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. As they're sitting there gambling for his belongings. Let's continue. This is where we're going to end off. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. So now they're just watching him and waiting for him to pass. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. See, it was Roman practice to display the charges of the person that was crucified above them. Notice they didn't put blasphemy. They didn't put insurrection. They didn't put any of this. What the Romans did was they put the King of the Jews, another form of mockery. And this was a mockery not only to Jesus, but it was a mockery from Pilate himself, mocking all of Israel. But the crazy thing is that the sign that was meant to mock inadvertently pointed out the tragic rejection of Jesus' true kingship. Think about it for a second. The sign above Jesus was actually the crime of humanity, was the rejection of the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that I just wanted to tee that up for the next few days, because we're going to get into a lot in terms of the crucifixion. But he is the King of Kings. And they mocked him for it. And again, we are all called to take up our cross and walk with Jesus. Now, thankfully, we will never, most likely, ever have to endure anything like this. And we won't. Because Jesus took it on as sinless. So we will never have to go this low as our Lord and Savior. But this humility and suffering that we are studying here is really against the backdrop of his divine kingship. This is the ultimate act of love and sacrifice. And that's what I ask all of us, and I challenge all of us to really keep close to our heart as we go through more on the crucifixion, as we lead up to, if you're listening to this in real time, we are in the Easter season, right? And we'll get into Holy Week. And I've already made the decision, if we're done with Matthew, we're going to continue to some respect through the holiday before we move on to the book of Acts. But I just want to contemplate the theme of sacrifice itself. What does it mean to sacrifice? Sacrifice means taking what is even rightfully yours to possess and setting it aside for the goodness and the wellness of a mission that's greater than yourself. See, in this context, it's the way God always intended. We talked about this at Sound of Heaven yesterday, is that God always intended for us to understand four things, right? Divine likeness. Not only divine likeness, but that we had unhindered fellowship with him. That we have great authority through him. And with that great authority, we have both the power and the responsibility to change the world around us. We are created in his image. And that's what Christian means. Christian means to be a follower of Christ. Christ meaning anointed, Tion meaning little. So you and I are called to be little anointed ones. We're called to live a life of personal sacrifice, pointing to the kingship of Jesus. And through the kingship of Jesus, not beating people up, but bringing them to a place of redemption. One of my favorite scriptures is out of 2 Corinthians 5. And it talks about our mandate to be ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation means that we take imperfections and transgressions and anything that would cause a block in fellowship and set it aside. And that's exactly what God did for me. It's exactly what God did for you. Was he removed the consequence of our sin so that we could have, once again, unhindered fellowship with our Lord and Savior. The Lord and Savior that went through everything that we're going to be reading over these next few days. See, there was no price too big to pay for your eternal soul. There was no price too big to pay for your victory in this life and the next. He paid it all. All you and I need to do now is to walk it out, to walk in victory, and to whatever degree we can, to share it with others. I've said it many times on this program, and I'll say it again. I'm going to give you the absolute meaning of life, and I believe this. I know that is a bold statement, but I believe this with every fiber of my being, that the meaning of life is these two things: to know him and to make him known. And a big part of that is pointing to what he did on the cross. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we take the next few days and we close out Matthew chapter 27 and 28 and ultimately the whole gospel of Matthew, Father, I pray that we bring to our remembrance your personal sacrifice through your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, help us to not take any of this for granted, but also not to just be spectators, to be willing to take up our cross every day. And even when those around us want to persecute us, even when those around us want to mock us for our walk with you, we know that all is for the good. And that even persecution brings us closer to the kingdom of God. Father, help us to go out today and to exhibit your victory and your power through our word and our deed. Help us to make an impact in this generation that we live in, Lord God, living a life of self-sacrifice and experiencing all the benefits and the blessings of your victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you come into agreement with that, just say, amen, I receive it. My name is Pastor J. D'Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. We're going to continue with our study through the crucifixion tomorrow. This is the 1% Christian. 100 starts with one. Now go out there and do something amazing for Christ's sake. I love you guys. Have an awesome day.